Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And that's the game, and the Steelers come in with a mild upset and win it by a final score of 24-16 over Carolina. And Mike Tomlin's streak is still alive. He still doesn't have a losing season.
Indeed, Billy's got the call. We're fresh in from Charlotte there. What a nice place that is. That's Max, I got to tell you something. Charlotte is really a nice city, a nice area. There's just a lot of good stuff going on around there.
Well, the Queen City, Wolf, is a special place. I mean, Charlotte, North Carolina, it sits right there above Georgia and the Carolinas. And, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to migrate down that way. You saw a lot of construction, and even the even the airport's expanding.
Yeah,
that thing was already huge. So that, I think that just tells you the emphasis of that whole entire area growing up. But we'll say this: the food. You know,
you're so correct, that, sir.
Not that I've met a city that I haven't enjoyed food in.
Little culinary delights here and there, yes.
Yeah, but the Queen City, Charlotte, never disappoints, especially in the soul food category.
I think Charlotte is the king of Queen Cities. I mean, because I know there's Charlotte, there's Cincinnati. I'm sorry, I think Charlotte takes the cake.
Yes, they can have the cake, and we'll eat it too. Because it's always weird, right, with nicknames, like
right.
Trying to...
How do you figure that one?
Yeah, how do you figure that? Who gets it? Is there a coin flip? Is there like a playoff for the name? And I'm trying to think of what other names they could get. I don't know why Cincinnati picked Queen City, but...
Yeah, I know. Who said Cincinnati would be the Queen City? I don't know. There's something about Cincinnati. Well, you call it Cincinnati, you know?
Yeah, I do. There you go. Nickname solved. No, yeah. Just go ahead.
Exactly so. But what a game it was yesterday as the Steelers came out and they out-Carolina'd Carolina at the very thing they were doing to everybody else in their, three or four wins that they had coming into this game. It was amazing because they'd been rushing the ball. They were playing good run defense. And then all of a sudden, they got like the Atlanta Falcons again. They said, oh, I think Sam Darnold can throw the ball. We can do this and that. And I just saw us go up there, and we just started kicking the snot out of the trenches. You know what I mean? They were the Steelers were beating guys up down in on both sides of the ball.
You know, it reminds me of, like, you remember Waterboy? Where
right.
The coach is like, you know, he's like reading the other team's playbook. He's like, look, it's right here. Because he stole the coach's playbook. I felt like that's what we did. We stole Carolina's playbook, and we're like, Yeah. We knew what they were doing.
New England here, you know?
Well, but – you know, but once again, ingest. Not in reality, because we do in real life. New England did something very similar, but it was fun to see them do to another team what they had done to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think I got that right. Okay.
I think you did.
Yeah, and so
I know you got to be lacking sleep a little. I know that.
I am lacking a smidge of sleep, but I am here.
How did
and my voice My voice is not here, though.
How did you navigate your way back without any,
identification?
Identification,
or
yes.
Payment methods? Yeah.
I was sitting there going, I was thinking about that last night. Faith and I were talking to him. I go, wow, that's a bummer. That is huge.
I almost missed my flight.
Oh, no.
Because the traffic getting out of the stadium.
Oh, okay.
Area was way more Steeler fans than we anticipated, which I loved.
Yes.
Right? And so, I made it to the airport. I want to say it was 35 minutes before my flight.
Whoa.
And enhanced security checks take a while.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When you don't have your ID or any form of proof of humanship, shall I say. So I literally, Wolf, thank goodness in my backpack, I literally have like all the badges that I've acquired this season.
Oh, like, okay. I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, the media badges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I showed them every single one that had my name on it. I did. You know what's funny? I have my combine tag in there, which actually had a picture.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's good.
So that helped me out a little bit.
Explain it to the people what happened to you.
So I lost my wallet. somewhere between Atlanta and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. To when I finally got off the plane here in Charlotte, well, there in Charlotte yesterday or day before. So I had no wallet, no ID.
Unbelievable.
Nothing to prove me was me except for my Steelers badge and that combine badge. can still fly if you have your boarding pass, but give yourself about 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Because they search every single item of clothing, every pocket you have, and they look at every single thing. So, like, in my puffy jacket, Wolf.
Yes.
You know, I keep the spare batteries, right? Because when I wear that jacket, I need a place for the batteries.
Right.
They had to look at each and every battery. There's like 9 batteries in that pocket.
We're going to test these.
I mean, at least let me know which one's a dud. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the odd number.
Oh,
it'd
man, that's
great
agony.
To even it out. Yeah, so it took forever. But I hoofed it and ran, and luckily right before the guy closed it, I made it, so I was happy to be home.
Oh, yes.
Last night and be able to be here on the headsets this morning.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, here's the thing. It was I felt so bad for you. And then I'm on my way home from we land in Pittsburgh. I got my bag, and all of a sudden I realize I'm reaching in my bag. I can't find my wallet. I'm going, no, it's in my pocket. All right, it's not in my bag. I normally put it in my bag when I'm traveling like that. But you made me so hyper. I was like thinking, man, I better keep this wallet close. You know, Max can lose it. I can lose mine easy.
Oh gosh.
And I'm going, where's my wallet? And then it's like, oh, it's in my pocket. I feel so stupid.
I tell you what, I'm definitely, as soon as I get my new stuff in, I'm ordering the janitor's keychain. You know what I'm talking about? The retracto.
Oh, yeah.
The retracto with a little elasticity on it.
There you go.
So never lose a thing again.
Never lose a thing again. Well, the Steelers didn't lose a thing yesterday because they were really they really surprised me because of the way they came out and just controlled the line of scrimmage from the get-go. That was I had a lot. I know you had just as much fun in watching that to watch the skill level of the big uglies up front, man, going at it, doing the job. And I got to tell you something, I was just so impressed. Every single guy of that front five for the Steelers offense and then the defensive line, what a job. The front end of the Steelers defense, my goodness, that was just a performance that, took me back a few years. I mean, it was like That was as good a run-stopping performance as we've seen this side of Dick LeBeau.
No, I completely agree. The way that they blocked everything up and the fact that they did it with stealth in a lot of situations, too.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know it was coming, and then, boom, they were on you. And it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I mean, because let me watch how I preface this.
Okay. Take a deep breath.
Would you say this was one of the best rush offense and defensive games that we have put together in the more recent Steelers history?
I would have to say so, yes. You know, I mean, looking at the fact you come off of giving up, 300-some yards of rushing over the last couple of games. You know, you look at that and you think, you shut these guys down who are averaging a buck 50 or so or a buck 60 in rushing yardage per week. They're coming out and they're rushing the ball, 46, 47 times against a number of teams. The last two of their last four games, they've rushed for over 220 yards in a game. This is a team that I know a lot of people are saying, yeah, it's the, it's the South and they play, everybody's, below the, the 500 win loss and so forth down there. But the fact of the matter was Carolina was still running the ball well, doing a really good job of running it. And they just were not able to gain any traction, so to speak, really, against the Steelers. And, again, Sam Darnold putting the ball in his hands, that's not – I don't know. They just kind of abandoned the run after a while, didn't you think?
Well, I think it wasn't working. that would be
why. That's why you abandoned it, yes.
Yeah, Larry Ogunjobi is a main reason why. Early on, Larry Ogunjobi denying them and shutting them down when they tried to run the football.
Unbelievable job by him.
Yeah, I thought he did a tremendous job. Obviously, Cam and both our outside backers. But Terrell Edmonds.
Oh, what a job he did in the box.
Man, in the box, he was a killer.
Yes.
And I use that in a very loose, fun play. But he was out for blood. He went and he wanted to hit Dante Foreman. I don't know if him or Deontay Foreman. I don't know if him and Deontay had previous run-ins. But Deontay, you might want to apologize. I don't know. What Terrell brought, he actually brought it with a vigor that it was awesome to see. It was infectious. Devin Bush had some huge hits in the hole as well. And you could see this team really looking at each other and giving you the nod and saying, I got you, bro. I got you. Whatever you do, we'll back your play. And I thought that was pretty neat from a team chemistry standpoint,
mm-hmm.
and a camaraderie standpoint, to see that happen in front of your eyes and to see such a dominating performance.
You know, it started off in my mind, okay, obviously one of the point men, it's got to be Mitch Trubisky. What a tremendous game Mitch played. I mean, he was just dynamite and all. Decisive, delivered the ball, did so many good things, and that – whatever it was with Deontay, if they had a little dust-up or something, it's obviously they're very copacetic. And what a great job the two of them combined. Then you got to take the three-headed monster that it is with Najee, and the three of those guys just did an outstanding job of just, complimentary football, on the offensive side of the ball. When the rushing attack got stalled down, you come across with big third down catches. I mean, Deontay had five first down, third down catches that turned into first downs. That's just tremendous stuff. I know he didn't score a touchdown, but 10 for 98, and five of those receptions accounted for first downs after being 3-16 in the first half. Man, oh man, get zooks. I mean, that man was on fire and doing a great job showing that he is still a high level offensive weapon at the wide receiver position.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was I was happy for Deontay.
Yeah, I was too.
I mean, it was.
I was happy for Mitch.
I was happy for Mitch as well. Mitch definitely did. But you know what's funny? It was outside of the one little dust up word, flex, whatever it was you want to call it. I mean, I was like, you know what? I was like, yeah, I would probably be cocky too, Wolf, if I was making these type of catches. In these moments, these are money downs.
Yeah.
Third down situations, and he's converting them with ease. And Mitch is finding him, you know, and being able to just toss him a nice ball and allow Deontay to work. It was really cool to see because Deontay was playing with a mindset of, I'm not going to be denied.
Yeah.
I'm tired of losing. And if I have to put it on my back, I put it on my back. I will be ready. And he was.
You think about this, man. He had a 12-yard grab on a 3rd and 10. He had an 8-yard grab on a 3rd and 6. And then he also had a 19-yard grab on a 3rd and 14, as well as a 9-yard reception on a 3rd and 6. That's just four of them. I mean, that what I loved was it wasn't any of those weren't, you know, short of the sticks. And that one time when he ghosted three guys in within, like, 3 yards, it was unbelievable. It was like he had stealth mode on him.
Oh, absolutely. It's like he's like engaged a cloaking device.
Yeah.
It was like whoop, 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 boom. I was like, man. I was like, at any point you're supposed to be tackled.
Yeah.
As a normal human being. But then I remembered you're number 18 and you're not human. So par for the course.
Well, it was
but a tremendous it was still beautiful to watch for us.
Yes.
I mean, I know Deontay will have a higher opinion of himself, of course. And he will be tougher on himself than we ever will be. But that's our job as media, to balance out the players when they might get down on themselves, because what they're doing week in and week out is something phenomenal, special, and only very few human beings can do it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I just was so impressed with the way they offensively and defensively kept rolling throughout the game. The fact that they could get that run, the running game going. And I'm telling you what, that Derrick Brown is a serious player on the inside there. And I got to tell you, I thought Kevin Dotson went after him and also James Daniels because he flipped back and forth on both sides. I just thought that what a tremendous job they both did in control and Mason Cole in trying to keep that water buffalo corralled.
Well, they corralled. They reestablished a new line of scrimmage about 3-4 yards deep into the defensive side of the ball. And they just were unrelenting.
Mm-hmm.
Unrelenting. They kept pressing, pushing, turning these guys. And it was honestly, that third quarter was a thing of beauty.
Wasn't it? That, I'm telling you what, man. That 91-yard drive. You know what? Why don't we save that for the next segment? We'll talk about that one coming back.
Yeah. Let's do that back here on the other side. You are in the locker room with Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Najee gets the call. No, Mitch keeps, gets to the goal line. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. The kid from nearby Mentor, Ohio, is in the end zone, and the Steelers have tied the Browns with point pending.
Oh, that's my fault.
And what was that?
I saw Trubisky 1 yard touchdown run on the fly there, but that was a different 1 yard touchdown run.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because Trubisky had at that point in the third quarter. You sure that wasn't that was the 1 yard touchdown run, right?
No, it was a different one. Here's the right one.
Okay.
Well, let's see what Mitch does. He does. He goes up over the top. Touchdown, Mitch Trubisky. And for Mitch, his second of the year rushing, and the Steelers open up a double-digit lead.
There you go, because it was back-to-back quarterback sneaks. And Mitch Trubisky did a great job of going over the top and extending that ball, making sure not to fumble it. But that was at the end. I got to tell you something, Max. Only because I've been on a similar drive back in the day, but 91 yards, you're talking 21 plays, almost 12 minutes of time. Great googly moogly. That was one heck of a drive to start off the third quarter, was it not?
I mean, it was to start off, to cut off, to end off, anything
really.
The Panthers wanted to do. I mean, they literally had it the entire quarter. It was all but like save but 3 minutes. They controlled the ball. It was – I've never seen anything like it, Wolf, in live person.
Unbelievable.
And only the second time since 2001 that something remotely close to that happened.
Well, you had to go back to the 80s where when we were in – I've told this story before many times, but back in the Houston Astrodome – when we went on a nearly 13-minute drive that was 23 plays in the Astrodome, which was filled with rednecks smoking filterless cigarettes and filling the dome with, a smoke over the field, a cloud, I should say, over the field. That was the only, that's the only one I can remember that long. But that was when I was there. That was a horrible time.
Well, hey. Yeah, you look on it with a little bit more fondness. It built some character, gave you a little panache so that you could tell that story today.
That's true.
And not cry.
That's true. All the tears are done. I just remember the one thing about it was on the 22nd play, 1-4 we scored. It was down on like the one, and the guy who's over me, a defensive lineman, we both staggered to our feet at the end of play number 22. And the guy says, either you guys got to score or you got to fumble. We got to get off the field. I don't ever remember having a conversation like that with a guy from the other side.
Hey, desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And y'all's enemy was both the time of clock that y'all were on the field.
Oh, isn't that the truth, man? That was brutal because, you know, you're indoors. You got the cloud of smoke hanging over the field with all those rednecks. And then, you know, you're sucking all that stuff in. And then you go
can't
on
breathe.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Oh, it was just terrible. But what the Steelers did yesterday in that really, really took it. It ripped the heart out of the Panthers' defense.
Yeah, it did. It took a lot of the momentum that they've been trying to build. They play like 17 different Panther graphics on the screen trying to get people engaged. I was just like, no, this is a Steeler crowd. They're never going to be on your side. And apparently you guys didn't look around and see all the black and yellow descend upon Bank of America Stadium. Should have been calling Bank of Pittsburgh Stadium. I mean, literally – We ran and took over that stadium yesterday, and it felt good. It felt like a home game to where the crowd just absolutely invigorated our group. And like you said, you get those type of drives. I just hate that the following defensive drive that had back-to-back sacks.
Yeah.
They were going to punt. It was 4th and 27. And careless thing happened, and they got a new set of downs. But that really changed the complexion of it outside of that because it was one of those where you could tell Carolina wanted to quit.
Yeah, they were looking for a place to lie down.
Yes, they were looking – they were seeking comfort. And it wasn't lasagna.
Yes.
Because lasagna probably would have brought the big boys there, and then they would have had PTSD thinking about the offensive line moving in unison again to destroy something.
You know what you missed that, you know, in the hotel the night before the dinner?
You know what I missed?
Oh, you missed these huge chocolate chip cookies. Oh, my goodness. They were outrageously good. And I take it upon myself. I should have saved you a couple, but I ate them before I could, you know.
I figured.
What are you going to do? Yeah. You know, in the weakness, in a moment, you know, I'm trying to think of my buddy and everything. It was like, oh, well.
Hey, Wolf, full disclosure,
yeah.
Halftime of the game yesterday?
Yeah.
I came all the way up to the press box to get ice cream because y'all talked about it on the broadcast.
Oh, you're kidding me. You snuck up there?
Got ice cream and got right back down. It was beautiful.
Oh.
You know, I could tell that, you know, the Lord was on my side because the second I walked to the elevator,
mm-hmm.
the coaches were coming off the elevator.
Oh, so timing was right because normally they shut it down waiting for the coaches. Woo.
And so I was able to get on the elevator right after dropping off the coaches. So no issues. And then I got back on to go down right before coaches came back up.
I've obtained exclusive audio of Max in that moment.
Oh, really?
And you know what? Offensive line. Who's laughing now, O-line?
That's it. Oh, that's a great
yes,
point.
Wes. Touche. Yes. Touche. Exactly. I was laughing all the way back down to the field.
Think about this on that third quarter drive, though, how important that is. You think about the recent malfunctions and dysfunctions that have occurred in the third quarter for the Steelers throughout this season and how, you know, it went from not being able to get a fast start at the beginning of the game to not being able to come out of the locker room and get a fast start. Well, you come out, you run a 21-play drive. I think 15 of them, around 15, were runs. You got to be kidding me. That is physically getting after the other side and making them submit to what you want to do because you're just absolutely pounding them play after play after play. And if you go through it, and I'm only through the first half and just film review this morning, I was going through it, but what a job that offensive line did in coming off the ball. And Danny Moore and James Daniels, Kevin Dotson, Mason Cole, and Chukwuma Okorafor, boy, they were, what do you young people call it, lit now? They were really, I don't know how you do that. Is that like a word that fits, lit?
I think
how about this? They were really good. I'll do that. How's that?
Exactly. Or you could say they were fire.
They were fire. Okay.
Yeah.
Not even fired up.
Another.
You know, you just fire.
No,
that's all.
Just fire, because fire just flames, smoldering, all encompassing. I'm using all SAT words right now. No, but I mean, they were lit. They were on fire. They did exactly what they wanted to. And I thought that was the cool aspect, because they actually looked like a team that was like, bring it. We marked a line in the sand. Now you step over it.
Absolutely.
And when you do, prepare to meet heavy resistance.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty glorious. It was pretty glorious.
How about Jaylen Warren? What'd you think about Jaylen's performance?
I thought Jaylen did what? Now, here's the thing. Jaylen, in the pass protection, Wolf?
Yeah.
Absolutely stellar.
Wasn't he great?
He
spanked some guys, man, on the rush.
I mean, he put every bit of that, was it 165?
Is that all he is? He's got to be more than that.
No, 185.
Yeah, something like
that.
No,
you know what? No, he might be 210.
Okay.
But it's not much bigger than that. I'm trying to remember his numbers.
I'll look it up here while you're talking.
Anywho, but, I mean, he went and met linebackers on blitzes and the A-gaps. I mean, he put everything into – he was putting his face in their chest, and they were getting stopped right at the point of impact where he'd met them. And I thought Jaylen Warren just did such a great job, also in the relief role for Najee with the run game, just running hard, running and falling forward – It was something awesome when you see multiple people on the team playing at such a high caliber, and they just, like, once again, I hate to say this, but they would not be denied.
No.
They would not give the other team the satisfaction of beating us. We were like, nope, not today, bud. Not today. Not going to happen. We're coming in here. We brought a lunchbox. We brought a hard hat. I see there's construction going around here. Don't worry. We'll be done soon. We're just going to reconstruct your confidence for the next 60 minutes. And they did that.
Well, Jaylen Warren had 11 carries for 38 yards while weighing 215 pounds, just so you know.
Wolf.
Yes.
That was reporting into training camp. We all know that number is never truly accurate in season.
Especially if you're Casey Hampton.
Hey, Casey Hampton, Flozell Adams.
Was Big Flo one of those guys whose his weight was kind of a highly guarded secret?
What? Oh, my. No, he's an ogre walking around in an ogre suit.
Flo was pretty. He was a pretty tough guy, wasn't he?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, Flo was your lineman's lineman. Like he was one of the guys that you didn't know quite if you should fear him or not, even as a teammate.
Yeah, just I remember when he got in that one dust up during practice. He reached over and guys were trying to separate him and somebody else. And he pulled the guy's helmet off. I can't remember who it was. And for a brief moment, I was afraid the guy's head was still inside the helmet. He just did.
Well, it would have been. Yeah, I know. It would have been scary had it been, had it been a head in there. Yeah. But I'm glad it wasn't either.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but there was one interception with Flozell. I'll never forget this. I forgot against who. And we were zigging. They were zigging and zagging. And so I was sitting on the far end. I got plastered by Bart Scott, just absolute posterized.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Flo looking over,
mm-hmm.
and then the interception play is still going on because we have not gotten the bill yet. So I just remember kind of watching, and Flo literally took one hand. You hear me?
Yep.
One hand. And snatched the dude by, like, the front of his jersey and slammed him down on the interception. And it was the guy with the ball.
Wow.
He was powerful. I mean, that's why we called him Shrek. I mean, he was just such a big, imposing dude. But he had this endearing quality for mm-hmm. us as friends. But, you know, also, I was like, this dude is, there's a reason why they call him the hotel. Like, this dude's open 24/7, and he kicks butt 24/7. So I was happy, you know, to say that you know, I got a chance to play with Big Flo, because Big Flo was one of a kind.
He definitely was, no doubt about it. All right, we got to go to break. And when we
let's
come
go
back,
to, let's
yeah.
go to break. Yeah.
What
Please,
are we going to do when
no,
we come
you,
back?
You do it because my voice is dead.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we are going to talk some more, breaking this game down. And the number is 412-919-1316. We're going to start going over game balls, talking about some of the high points and a couple of low points, not many, but all that and more right here in the Locker Room SNR.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here's the snap. Darnold back. Big rush. He's hit! And TJ has him. And down he goes inside the 20. They'll call him down at the 17. Taylor Moten, the right tackle, got beaten badly on the play by T.J. Watt.
Indeed, T.J. Watt. It was good to hear Billy call that play because, you know, T.J. Watt is now, he's not been quite the same since he came back. Obviously, you got a seven-game stretch there that he was out with the torn pec and the knee and everything else, and it took a little while to ramp him up, but boy, he looked like he was his old self yesterday, did he not, Max?
He absolutely did, and you know what, Wolf? I mean, that you read my mind. That's all I'm going to say is that if that didn't come back, I was going to make that recommendation for the top of the next hour. But, you know, a milestone was hit play that you called. So, yeah, so you got to fill the people in, or do you want me to do it?
You go right ahead, young man.
All right. With that, T.J. Watt became the third fastest player to reach 75 sacks in his career. He had 74 and a half going in. And if he doesn't miss those, I think it was eight games, Wolf. I think it was seven or eight.
Eight
games. He would have blown away his brother.
Yes.
Which even though he still did it faster than his brother. His brother did it in what, 88 games?
84 games, I think it was.
No, did his brother do it at 84? I thought his brother was a little – no.
Reggie White was ridiculous. He was 65.
Oh, it was – yeah, 65. That was absolutely that's like insane.
Yes.
But I don't know why I thought J.J. was like 88 games. But
– he was number two, you know, and whatever.
Yeah.
Getting to 70.
No, no. Sorry. He was 82 games.
Okay.
And TJ was 84 games, right?
Okay, that sounds like
it was. Once again, I'm not highly caffeinated right now in this part of the morning, and my voice, but I am getting my voice back.
You're getting it back.
Yep. I went and used the throat spray thing you're supposed to use.
Right, a little gargulation.
Gargulation, and then I found some warm water to drink. So
beautiful.
I'm getting it. I'm getting it back. I mean, heck, I need it by this weekend.
Yes.
We got a short week turnaround.
Well, not only that, how many games are you doing? Like, when's that start, that number of days in a row?
Post-Christmas. Okay. So it will be from the 27th until January 2nd, I will call five games.
Wow. Man, oh, man. You are the
five
man.
Games.
Oh, it's
man,
you know, it's good to be.
I am something. I'll be a zombie by the end of it, but I'll start out a man at least.
If you're gonna come home on your shield, as they used to say in Sparta.
I'm coming back with my shield, Wolf. I'm not coming back on it.
Oh, that's right. I got mixed up. Sorry.
I'm going to slay. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm going to slay, and I'm coming back. You know, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. What was that? What was that lion hide, like the most, like, you know, it was like in like Greek history is like the that lion's hide that almost is like makes you bulletproof if you wear the pelt. God, I can't remember.
Was that Hercules?
Yeah, it was Hercules. Yeah.
Yeah, and he had the lion pelt on him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking all the Greek odysseys. When I'm coming back, I'm like, that's going to be an amazing trek. And I'm gonna see some good games. I got some good games. I got the
Absolutely.
Orange Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, Guaranteed Rate, and also the Fiesta Bowl. So on top of our Ravens game wedged in there as well.
I'm disappointed that you don't have the Pool on Weed Whacker Bowl. I mean, come on, that would have been.
They pulled out as a sponsor.
I mean, what better bowl could you want to be in than the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl or whatever it's called?
And it was in like Boise, Idaho, too. I mean, I've never been to. Have you been to Idaho, Wolf?
I have not been to Idaho. No,
neither have I. I was like, I was looking for a reason to go see the place that actually perfected the French fry.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, Idaho potatoes.
Oh, I always think about
the best potatoes come from Idaho, right? That's what you're taught as a kid growing up.
Yep.
Oh, gotta get those Idaho potatoes. So I was like, I was looking forward to going to Idaho and having some potatoes.
Absolutely. My goodness, that's sensational.
You know what? Maybe one of these days it might be a Wolf and Starks locker room road trip.
Ooh,
just saying.
Wouldn't that be great?
Something? We could take like maybe like a week or two, you know, in the off season.
Let's just go. Wolf, I know.
And road trip and just eat our way through America. That would be and then report back our facts when it comes camp time.
How fat do you weigh? Oh, big. I weigh fatly.
Hey, we'll go line up with the rest of the team and go for the weigh-ins.
Oh my gosh.
And just see what Marcel says.
Yeah. Yeah. No way, because you know what? Then it's on to the conditioning test. I ain't doing it. I'm done with those.
No, because we would test out of it because we'd be overweight. So it'd be like,
oh, that's right. We got to go on the Casey Hampton thing.
That's right. We're on the pup list. We'll get pup listed after that. And then we'll just go back up to the dorm and meet guys in the lunchroom and eat more.
Oh, I like your thinking there. I like it. By the way, one thing I got to mention, too. Reggie White, he had 75 yes. sacks in 65 games, which is just ridiculous. But you know what? In six times playing against Chaluch, against our brother, Tunch Ilkin.
Tell him about it.
Tunch never gave up a sack to him. Not
Woo-hoo!
One. How about that?
That is right. He was a Reggie White neutralizer.
That's true. I'm telling you what, he was absolutely – those two, it was just – that was a classic battle to watch. Matter of fact, if I was – if I could suggest anything to Danny Moore, just because his hands are – his. And by the way, Danny played so fine yesterday. He did a great job, used his hands well. Brian Burns is a serious pass rusher, and some of the other guys, he was spot on. But you know what, for both those tackles, Chooks and that, I would go and I'd ask Mac to download some of – Tunch and some of Larry Brown. And you want to see the best punching that I've ever seen in my life. It was Tunch and Boss Brown. Those guys could time the punch like crazy.
Listen, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do one better. When I get home, because I'm calling the Orange Bowl on January 2nd, I'm going to go to my mom's house because I still have some of my stuff in her garage, some boxes.
Okay.
And guaranteed in there are some VHSs.
Ooh, VHS. How about that?
And the one VHS I was given my freshman year of college, day two.
The Tunch Punch.
Jimmy Ray Stevens. Tunch's Punches.
Yes, I remember that.
Tunch's Punches. Yep. I had the VHS. I watched it religiously. And listen, I mean, God is amazing in what he does and what he reveals to you.
Amen.
Because who would have thought that an 18-year-old freshman from Orlando, Florida – watching these videos is, you know, second day on the University of Florida campus would then come to know and befriend the man who he was watching on those videos and trying to mimic his punching style. Just, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's kind of like when you take a second, and you look in the rearview mirror,
mm-hmm.
like, and you just admire where you've come from, right? Yes. The mountains, the valleys, the beautiful scenery that you just went through. You want to catch the last little glimpse of it as you're continuing forward with your life. That is something that, you know, is a special moment. And I'm glad I got to share that with Tunch when I was a player and let him know how much I appreciated him. But it's just it's fantastic. I still get goosebumps. Like, I have goosebumps right now on my right arm.
Yep.
Just thinking about the fact that happened, I would have never in a million years thought I would have, you know, met Tunch Ilkin and let alone befriend him.
Become a brother to him because he loved you too.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things. I couldn't believe it. I was like, it had the clips of him and Reggie White doing battle,
yes.
like multiple times.
Yep.
Like you said, the six times, like you saw it, it was like, different jerseys, different locations, and you're just like, this dude was beating up Reggie White. Like he was putting hands on him. Like serious, like 1-2 combinations. I was like, that is ridiculous. I was like, that was so wild to see because you knew the regard that everybody had for Reggie White.
Yes.
The fear that people had in Reggie White. And then here's Tunch. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's not like Tunch was 350 pounds and he was 6'9". You know, just bam, bam, bam. Like, you know, came in with like boxing gloves, like Clubber Lang, you know?
Yep.
It was Tunch. I mean, Tunch was what about, what,
265? No, he was
265. Oh, yep. My gosh. He's as small as Aaron Donald.
Think about that. You know, and I will tell you this. He got up to 275 in the offseason one time. He calls me and he goes, you know, because it was early before we started training. You know how it is right after the season's over. So he's just like bloating up out at his mom's place and his dad's place out there, just eating everything and that's not nailed down. And he goes, I feel like a barrel with broomsticks sticking out of it. Because his arms are never as big as he wanted to be. But he says, I feel like a barrel with broomsticks sticking out.
So all the weight went to his trunk.
It went to his trunk and his face. Have you ever seen his face?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And the helmet, it looked like it was like bread yeast rising up out of a bread pan.
That's right, because the pictures they had of the line, because they had, you know, your picture upstairs in the training facility,
right.
It showed the line. It had pictures of Tunch and you, and you know yours was definitely one of those. It was just the gritty one. It was like, you know, like you were definitely like half pirate at that moment, but you were missing the eye patch.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That kind of was the still shot they got of you, and of course you had the nice, like almost like crew style cut hair,
yep.
Like flat top style, and then for Tunch it was. He had this big swollen face, like you know, because Tunch, you know, and I saw Tunch as a former player, so he's slim, lean, you know, very healthy. And then you see this one picture, it's like, yeah, he just got off of like a coal mining shift, and he ate like two hoagies, like back to back in like 15 minutes. I mean, that's what his face kind of looked like, almost like his jaws were swollen from chewing so much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like he was in a car wreck face first.
Yeah. Oh my God. Too funny. Oh geez. All right. We got to break. See, this is great when we have story time. But that was fun. But we're gonna step aside. Next hour is what, Wolf?
The Power Hour.
That's right. The Power Hour. We come back here. We're gonna talk more about the defense. Of course, we have to highlight the day that Alex Highsmith had. Of course, we touched on it with Larry Ogunjobi, and just continuing to talk about the dominance that the defense had in the contest against the Carolina Panthers when we come back here on In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.